Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And, besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Lap Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with joy. They have now joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
I am, of course, the one, the only, Mark Unger.
There's a fine line between tough and crazy, and you're flirting with it.
Joining us, as always, the alarming.
The alarming,
yet charming. She's charming, yet alarming. Alarming, and
this
yet charming.
Good.
Diane Brierley.
Oh, he's completely lost his mind.
And, of course, the incomparable Ross Allen Skorzewski.
Please let me in.
Engineering the show, as always, Timothy Robert Ray. That's a nasty sound name, isn't it? Timothy Ray, I love that name.
You need to get the psycho
That's
music.
That's a nasty sounding name.
So when you say
like,
that.
Yeah, do we have psycho music anywhere?
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When the shower.
That would be the perfect sound effect for Tim.
I like your name, Tim. I like it. It's not nasty at all.
It sounds like a serial killer. Like,
you know, yeah.
It sounds like a perfect serial killer.
It's awesome. I love it.
Timothy.
It sounds just like you'd hear it on CNN.
Yes.
Timothy Robert Ray.
That's right.
Everybody in the neighborhood thought he was a nice guy.
Very nice guy. A little quiet. To himself and 45 bodies in his backyard.
Yep.
And
oh my gosh, would it be the worst thing ever if they were to
have? Oh my gosh. I mean, because then they'll be playing back the show on CNN. Look, they laughed about it. They mocked.
Yes.
They knew he was a killer.
And they make jokes.
That we all wind up in prison.
And Tim says it all started with Gunger saying that was a nasty name.
I told him not to say that to me.
They'll find out the batteries or the bodies are in Mark's
backyard.
The bodies are in Mark's backyard, he says.
Hey, Debbie, what are those shallow grays out back? I have no idea. Anyway, Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, trying to stay awake during the program. I guess someone emailed and said, how come Timothy has a hard time staying awake during the program?
Well, I don't know if it was a joke. I mean, that's what they said. I tried to explain. It's just a joke. I don't know if they really thought that. I don't know.
Don't get
people
it.
Don't
do
get
they
it.
Know?
They don't. They seriously don't get it.
This is the show that handles all of your marital challenges, your relational conundrums, your dating dilemmas that you can email to us directly at markgunger.com. Here's how the show works. You can send us questions about anything and be totally anonymous. In return, we are brutally honest. This is not a show for your self-esteem. And don't go, well, they don't understand my situation. Of course we don't understand your whole situation. We're just responding to one single email. This is also not marriage counseling. If you think you're going to call for personal counseling off an email, you need to check your medication, for heaven's sakes.
Well, if they listen to this at all, why on earth would they think they're going to get serious?
Why don't we get it all the time?
Listen to the show this
People
week.
People send us email and they get really upset. And they're just
I know.
I'm thinking, seriously? Do you listen to this show?
So is this show about building up our self-esteem then?
No.
Pretty much.
It is.
It works
what
for me.
What it is people can send us a question and say, what do you guys think of this? And then we'll bat it around, you know? If we think it's great, we'll celebrate it. If we think you're a dork, we'll tell you you're a dork. So it's not about, you know, how sensitive, ever so sensitive.
Okay, so give me the percentage. In your mind, what's the percentage? What percent is purely entertainment
purpose? Do you watch Bill Riley at all?
I do off and on.
Okay, so Laura Ingraham
is
sitting in. Oh, I can't stand
her. I know. I don't like her.
Her voice.
I like her less than I like Megyn Kelly.
I have visions of taking my own life when she's on that show. Anyway.
Can we put Fox News back on?
No. Because you got Fox News sitting right in front of you, baby.
You got me on the screen, baby. You don't need Fox News. I'm the man. So anyway, the other night.
Laura Ingraham's on.
Yeah. And she's interviewing not Barney Frank. He's weird enough, but
Charlie Fife.
Charlie Rangel.
Barney Fife.
Yeah. interviewing Barney Fife from Mayberry. No, Charlie Rangel.
Yeah.
New Year. I mean, he's an old black distinguished gentleman. I mean, I know he got in trouble with the tax thing and stuff, but he seems like a nice man. And, you know, so certainly a cultural thing, an age thing, where he made a comment about, you know, he says, Bill told me to be on the show. I didn't know I was going to be here with a pretty lady. A pretty girl or something.
She said something.
Oh, then she went all psycho and all. She's all offended and stuff like that because he called her a pretty girl.
To him on the show.
Oh, yeah. She just went all psycho.
See, I don't watch it when she's on there. I don't like to watch O'Reilly when she's in.
She took great offense.
I can't stand it either. Huh?
She took great offense by him acknowledging her.
As a pretty girl. Because she's pretty. You know, that's. Well, I'm just saying.
I'm more than just a beautiful face.
Well, first of all, she ain't
sexist.
A beautiful face. That's what I'm thinking of that. So I'm
going she said that he was being sexist, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't being sexist for crying out loud, you know, for a young guy to do that with a snide attitude.
She's pretty. What are you talking about?
Well, it's because she's so annoying to listen
to.
Just
I can't stand listening to her. So anyway,
it sort of takes away.
If you like her, don't email me. I don't care. I'm gonna write Mark Gunger down. Not to be mean to me.
Sweet old man told me that I was pretty. I wouldn't be mad.
No,
you tell me. I'm
an old man.
You sweet old man, and you tell me, and I don't get mad at you.
I'm an old man. I'm not even a sweet old man. I'm just an old man.
Yeah, that's right.
For heaven's sake. So, you know, just everybody. So sensitive. You can't say anything to anybody. That's why I think we're such a culture shock. Yep. Especially the Christian world. Yep. Christian world's more, you don't get more politically correct than the Christian world.
Oh, I know. You don't
you
say
You gotta say everything. Just like, and you can only say this and that. So they listen to this show. I think they're in culture shock for the first, you know, 20 shows before they pop out of it. So anyway, this show is not about your self-esteem. It's just you get a chance to throw ideas past us, and we jump in on it and tell you what we think.
We're still stuck in the intro here.
Yeah.
So,
and you didn't start the clock.
Thomas
so.
Is still sitting at Bell Ann's son. She's actually in the background, too, you know, staring at us like we're a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah.
This is our second time. She's really crazy. Mm-hmm. You're crazy to go the first time. You go the second time, you're absolutely crazy.
What she did was she had to bring someone along to verify how crazy we were. You're not going to believe how crazy we are.
Thomas
you have
keeps
to
staring at
this.
Us like,
you have to come see this.
He's going to drive home and say, man, them people are the dumbest people I ever saw. They do this for a living. How do you get away with this in America? Anyway.
Okay, just an FYI, you didn't start our clock, so we're going to have to just go with Timmy's commands here.
Oh, ooh.
Okay.
Oh, just know the buttons or the two major cues we always hear anyway.
So if we blow through two breaks, unless Timmy can whisper in my ear about 15 minutes or something.
How far are we in, Timmy?
7:44.
Okay.
All right, keep going. Okay. Speaking of self-esteem, I came upon this little article about self-esteem and how you always say that white girls have lower self-esteem than the ethnic girls.
Yes.
They actually did a study that proved it.
Is that right?
Yes! I had to print it out when I found it. Although Hispanics tend to have lower self-esteem than blacks or whites in the teen years, by age 30, their self-esteem has increased to the point that they have higher self-esteem than whites, a new study suggests.
Yeah, I've been saying that forever.
I know. That's why when I found it, I'm like, haha, this is just what you say.
Is Mark their source?
No.
it was a
university in Switzerland.
Hispanics tend to have lower self-esteem than blacks or whites in the teen years.
During teen years. So it's like it differs according to age and race is what the point of the study was.
By age 30.
Mm-hmm. And they say that males and females is about the same, too, during the teenage years. Self-esteem problems.
Well, isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, I don't deal with teens. So I'm always dealing with adults. And Latina women tend to carry themselves very confidently. Black women tend to carry themselves very confidently.
That's what they're saying, by adulthood.
White chicks are all depressed all day long.
In both adolescence.
I suck. I'm so ugly. Which makes them ugly.
This is true.
They can be gorgeous. And they're going, I'm so ugly. And they're like, yeah, you are. Shut up. Move on.
They said, in both adolescence and young adulthood, blacks have higher self-esteem than whites. By age 30, whites trailed both Hispanics and blacks in terms of self-esteem.
There you go.
It's a report that was published in the journal.
I have been vindicated once again because I am brilliant.
Yes. And boys and girls in the teenage years apparently both have equally low or equally high self-esteem.
Well, you know, the whole teen thing is a little...
Oh, teens.
It's identity.
You're talking about young teens, right?
Adolescents, they say. So adolescents.
So young. When you're 13 and 14 and you're changing and all of a sudden you're tall and skinny and you got zits coming out of your eyeballs and
voices changing.
And the girls have boobs. She didn't have boobs before. Oh my God, now she's got boobs. Oh, oh no. I don't know. You feel weird and creepy. So you're very...
My poor 13-year-old son, he's so self-conscious, and you know, he's going through all of this. My heart just breaks for him.
But that's just normal.
Yeah, I know.
That's just what it is.
But it's so awkward for him. I wish I could just speed him up and kill
him. By the time you're 18, though, is, you know, guys tend to imprint off of their, that age. I forget what this 18? Was. Yeah, about 18. And most men, even geezers like me, still see themselves as when they were 18. They're, you know. Thomas over here. He's that age now, 19 years of age. He's pretty much going to think, this is me for life. Okay? So here's the difference between men and women. A woman can be drop dead, suck the air out of the room, gorgeous, look in the mirror, and she doubts what she sees. A man can be fat, bald, and ugly, like some people I know on this show, and they look in the mirror, and they say, I don't believe that.
That's
because
right.
We're convinced we're beautiful.
It's all in your head.
It's
all,
I am a woman,
then. It's that they kind of fixate on that. That early adulthood male, yeah. That even as guys change, still at some point they do you think that's at all true?
I don't feel that way. I look in the mirror and I go, we got to deal with that.
But when you're just kind of talking, don't you kind of picture yourself as this?
No, I picture myself as right now because
really? Well, you can't judge anything by Ross. Come on, you can't judge anything by Ross. He's sort of atypical.
I like how
check out the cigar.
Now.
I love how you look, Ross. Hey,
can
did
you
ever give
the cigars bad?
Thomas?
That's for Thomas. We're trying to pass it off to him.
When was the last time you filled the humidifier?
A couple of weeks ago. A couple of days. I don't know why.
I don't know.
Is it dried out?
Is it bad?
No, I'll tell you later.
No, tell me. Is it bad?
Well, I can't just touch it. I mean, sometimes you can. It's not bad. No, I want to.
How many guys you know that have?
Well, you can't
have a cigar. Have cigars and a cigar room, but doesn't smoke cigars.
I only
like
know
crazy.
Of one.
Obviously, I have too much disposable income.
You can't
this
smoke
is my
it
problem.
And then give it to Thomas. What are you doing?
Oh, is this for Thomas?
Yes.
I was trying to hand it off.
I'm sitting here like going.
I'll give another one. You can have that one.
You can have that
We're
going
to give it to Thomas because Thomas is getting married. And we don't know what else to do but here have a cigar.
Here's a cigar.
Even though this is usually for fatherhood.
Apparently.
Okay. So,
on,
if nothing else, you can hold on to it until your father. Which, right?
Then,
it might be really creepy.
Then it really won't work
because
anymore.
It may not be good at all. It smells good?
Ross is sniffing it.
Yes.
Yuck. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Okay, so anyway, science finally caught up with you, Gunger. They did a study to prove you're right.
I threw it at him.
There.
Don't smoke it.
You should sign
it.
You should sign it.
Sign the cigar.
I should go. So then if you do smoke it, it really will kill you. Because that Sharpie.
I don't know. Why did you give a man when he's engaged? You should give him a cigar, don't you think?
I don't
sure. That's more of a. I think that's better when you're engaged than when you have
you
a child.
You didn't give me jack squat.
I was so freaked out, man.
Freaked out that he was going to be your son-in-law.
Oh yeah, he might marry my daughter.
You got to realize, 17 years into this, I think he's. You know,
he's still
I am
freaked
the son-in-law
out.
Now. I'm not the boyfriend anymore.
No, I think he's still freaked out. 17 years later, I think he's still freaked out,
I think
Ross.
So, too.
I think there's
especially
no doubt
the whole
about it.
Like he's sitting there. He takes me to lunch or something.
Did you know it was happening?
Well, you yes. knew. You knew when you're knower.
You did?
The whole time he's talking, all I'm hearing is, you know. And he's going, blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, daughter, blah, 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 daughter, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
Saying all the right things.
Daughter,
well,
blah, 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 blah.
Didn't you know that?
That's all I heard.
The indicator that he wasn't was that he was staring at his plate, eating his food, and totally disconnecting, and then asking all the appropriate, how are you going to take care of her? I'm thinking, really? Really?
I was freaked out.
Oh, my
god. That's all I'm hearing was
you
this music.
Too. One's just as bad as the other one.
I'm sitting there. I told this story over and over, but I don't think anybody understands what I go through.
Oh, boo-hoo.
No. I was shaking. I couldn't even keep lettuce on my fork.
Hey, at
and
least you went and asked.
Like
because
faucets.
Some of these guys, did you ask Thomas? Did you ask for permission from her father?
Well, her father and I had a very interesting walk in the woods before.
Was he carrying a shotgun?
Did he have a gun or anything?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Because so many guys don't. They just go up
you know,
and
Wisconsin's
do whatever.
Concealed carry now, so you know, he's been carrying. You wouldn't have known.
Yeah, wow. I was big. That was important to me.
Well, I have instructed my son.
Ross
the same
is the
thing.
Best son-in-law I've ever had.
He's the only son.
If you have another son-in-law.
What are you saying?
If you have another son-in-law
he's
with
the
your
only
son.
Son-in-law.
That's problematic.
Yeah, there you are. Then you got bigger problems than a crazy son-in-law.
You got that right. How do we even get on that?
It's the Mark Gunger Show. We don't stay in touch with anything.
I don't even know. I don't know where one thing led to another.
So anyway, so I've been vindicated once again. You know, we look for all the studies that vindicate me. That's really what the show's
about. I don't look for them. They just happen to come my way. They find me. I don't find them.
We ignore all the shows that stories that disagree
actually,
with me.
There are not that many. I mean, I look at a lot of studies and a lot of stuff, and there aren't that many things that come across my email or that I find on the internet.
No, it's really not. I mean, the truth is, a lot of the crazy stuff that you hear and see is just opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the studies
tend to validate the perspective that we advocate.
Now, there was one weird cohabitating one that came out in the last year that said that it wasn't bad for marriages and that they didn't have higher divorce rates. But all the
did you see the latest one? I sent it
to you. Yes, I know you sent it to me.
Didn't that say that that was more damaging to the children than divorce?
Yes, yes.
What was this?
But I'm saying that was this other weird cohabiting study that came across that tried to say the opposite.
Yeah,
but all the other ones don't say that. The cohabitation is worse on children.
On children.
We read that divorce. Article.
Yeah, we did read week. One similar.
Yes. We did?
Yes.
It was a while ago we read one that was similar to that.
Last week.
I don't know. Was last week?
You
did another one last
week?
We're talking about divorce.
I come here and sleep when you people talk.
Yeah. No, but the cohabitation is worse for kids for lots of reasons.
All right. Cool.
So, anyhow.
All right. We'll take a break. And we'll come back with your emails right after this.
Find yourself missing episodes of The Mark Gunger Show? No need to worry. Go to iTunes.com and download all of our podcasts, which are made available free to you, our loyal listener. Join Mark and co-hosts as they continue to discuss any and all issues concerning life, love, and marriage.
It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this 4-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with national abstinence speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, Dating, and Relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, Dating, and Relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today. Do you want to discover the heart of your child and who God created them to be? Laugh Your Way America is excited to introduce the Kids Flag Page. This fun and interactive game will help you discover the unique way God wired your child. Find the key things that motivate them and learn what they love most about life. This colorful and engaging activity set will help your child see who they are at their very best and will teach you how to bring out the best in your child. Each Kids Flag Page game comes with everything you need to complete 3 Kids Flag Pages. Designed for children ages 4 to 11, the Kids Flag Page is a fun way for moms and dads to interact with their kids and truly discover the heart of each child. To order your game, go to www.laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
We talk about your dreams and we talk about your schemes, your high school team and your moisturizer cream. We talk about your Nana up in Muncie, Indiana. We talk about your grandma down in Alabama. We talk about your guys of every shape and size, the ones that you despise and the ones you idolize. We talk about your heart, about your brains and your smarts and your medical charts and when you start. You know talking about you makes me grin. But every now and then
I want to talk about me, because I love me.
Not every now and then.
I'm my biggest fan. I think I'm fabulous.
Oh, of course.
Yes, this is the Mark Gunger Show. It's all about me.
Well, it's titled after you, so...
Hey, I've just been vindicated on my cigar
I know you
habits here.
You have been.
So Ross was telling me, I got these cigars. I don't
even smoke cigars. You have 10 years to get friends.
I got this for my friends that I've never smoked any because I don't have any friends. Obviously, we've discussed this already. But I got this thing and Ross said this won't last. But when he looked and said, actually, in a properly maintained humidor, which is what I have over here. Well, for a guy who doesn't smoke cigars, I don't know.
Obviously,
I have too much money.
I will. Okay? I will stand by what I said.
But you said it lasts up to
10 years.
10 years.
So he has 10 years to find some friends.
Look, I got 10 years to find some friends.
I have a big butt.
There's hope for me.
Oh yes, you do.
You do have a big butt.
Let me throw this in. This is not.
He's got a big
you
butt.
Cannot put a turd in a humidor and let it sit there for 10 years and have it be.
They're not turds. They're cigars.
I'm saying
it's a bad cigar.
You know, I never even thought. Gee. I want to be like with a turd in
She's
here.
She's talking about buying good cigars to begin with.
Uh-oh. Good versus bad. You cannot take a bad cigar and let
it
age.
Well, let's hope not.
It has to be a good cigar in the first place in order to maintain.
Those are Cubans.
Those are illegal if they're Cubans. If they're real Cubans, they're illegal.
Okay. Let's pretend
they're
not Cubans because that wouldn't be proper.
Right.
For you to have them.
I got them when I was traveling somewhere.
But they will say.
So I give this young man a cigar, Thomas, in celebration of his engagement. And they're Cubans.
I think it's a wonderful thing.
Contraband.
So now
so someone will say, where did you get that illegal cigar? He said, I don't know, some preacher gave it to me. Now, and he'll be, you know, he'll be describing it someday to a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
And so what's your, I don't know, this preacher gave me an illegal cigar, man. I don't understand it. He doesn't even smoke himself, but he corrupted me, and I'm a mess. So, you know.
They say that you should. Bad.
And then his mom will be suing me. Because for corrupting her child, because now he's oppressed because he had an illegal cigar.
So we thank you all for listening to our last show.
we will not be, we'll be on tomorrow in, again legal at this time.
No, that's if we actually did have
that's
a show.
If we did. Let's just say we have the Cubans. Say,
just pretend.
We had a Cuban.
I actually had a Cuban cigar, like the one in your hand.
the Monte Cristo?
Really.
The Havana?
Yeah. Just for example, if it actually said that on that one that's in your hand. Then we would know.
Yeah, it's.
But anyway, you made crazy. A disparaging remark toward my cigars the other show.
I did.
Yes, I'm still trying to get over it.
What did I say?
You said they wouldn't last.
That
and now he's been vindicated twice in the same hour.
That's yes, right.
It's all about me.
It's okay. I'm that's fine. I'm okay with being wrong.
No, and, you're not.
And, oh, I am so am so.
No, you're not.
So am so.
So am so.
So
am
so. So am so.
So,
so,
so, so they
not.
Say. You know,
very intelligent program.
So,
no, you're not. So.
You should let them age for at least a month or two before you even smoke them. You should put them in your humidor.
Then they're properly aged already.
We should stick you in a humidor.
Maybe you'll properly age if we can squeeze you in there.
I'm so glad this is what only applies to like cigars and not like marriage.
Maybe if I was put in there, I would properly age. Because clearly, I'm 56 years old and I have the intelligence of a 14-year-old.
Stick your wife in the humidor for the first
aged.
2 months.
Yes,
you have. That's the problem.
You have not been in the humidor.
Physically, I've matured, but mentally, I'm still stuck in the same place. So if
that's
I was
about right.
We need like a human humidor.
Yeah, I know. It helps.
We'll call
with the
it humidor.
The humidor. And they put you in there.
And women all over America would buy these
and
things.
You age properly.
If you have a husband who's getting older but still is an immature moron, you need the humidor.
Humidor.
So that he will age properly.
We have to make sure
make
it
millions.
Worked for you first.
we'd make
it out on you.
Hey, we'd make millions just off the promise.
I know, but I want to test it out on you first.
You are offending your humidor right now. I am reading about this, so I am going to just give you one more bit of etiquette.
Okay.
You
yes.
have other flavored and blended brands of cigars in your
and you're
humidor.
Not supposed to.
You are not supposed to do
you
that.
You can't mix your cigars.
You just have one type of
one
cigar.
Brand.
I don't even smoke that stupid things. What do I care?
Never mix flavored cigars
don't
with
mix
other cigars,
cigars
in the same
humidor. Only flavored. What, like Pepsi and Coke?
Pretty much.
You have Coke flavored cigars.
Coke flavored cigars. That sounds really illegal.
That's something else. That's something entirely different.
You think this is bad? He had Coke cigars in his thing. I'm calling the cops, man. So I'm like getting out of here.
Excuse me, Mr. Gunger.
Mr.
Your
Gunger,
doorbell's ringing.
Hello.
The officers are outside.
We got a report from a guy by the name of Thomas.
So you have Coke and
you have Coke
illegal
laced
contraband
cigars.
Yes.
From Cuba
and illegal contraband from. Yeah.
What do you mean different flavors?
Different. There.
There's different flavor cigars?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
What do I know?
The darker the leaf, the lighter
it's like
the
coffee.
Leaf.
It's the
same.
It's
the
like
kind
different
of tobacco
coffee.
Leaf.
It's not just coffee.
So don't put coffee in your humidor.
Lord have mercy. We are so sorry for not dealing with
you. Wait a minute. So what you're telling me? What you're telling me is
you could have actually had
if
a
if you
great
had like three
flavored
different kinds of cigars, yes, you need three different humidors.
Apparently. Yes.
Well, I've seen Big Yo Mama humidors. They got like 100 different kinds of cigars.
Because they're sealed. Or
sealed.
They are
the cigars are sealed?
Sealed. Not as not in seals.
Seal flavored cigars, which is another violation of law, which is killing baby seals to turn them into cigars.
Most of these places that you're going to, like a store that has them, they're, uh-huh, they have a high turnover rate, so they're not going to sit there and absorb the flavors. Those sitting there for a year, you could put in a grape flavored cigar and everything
cross
else.
Cross your flavors.
Yes.
They're going to become hybrids.
Hybrids.
Man, you two have been smoking too many Coke laced cigars.
All at your supply.
I'm just playing along. Just playing along.
She didn't care anyway.
Hey, I'm just reading.
I hate cigars.
Diane's a real
care
cigar smoker herself.
I don't give a rat's butt.
She's out here smoking cigars when she walks in the door. All right, let's do these shows. Yeah. Get over with. I got places to go.
My voice will be way down here.
They're like real low. And then she comes in and she pretends to be a lovely lady. And then she needs, the first thing she lights up is her stogie on the way out the door. All right, I gotta go
now.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's my real
driving down the street in her station wagon.
With a stogie sticking out the side door.
Oh, man. All right. No.
All right. I don't know anybody listens to this show.
Especially this week.
Yeah.
This week, this whole week.
Have we answered any emails this week so far?
A few.
Three?
And there are people in the chat that get quite upset about that. How many emails? There's no emails, and they want you to answer emails. And then there's other people who
are
so happy and just entertained by the sheer entertainment value.
It's August, people.
That they don't care. If emails get answered, it's a bonus.
I wonder if anybody's even listened to the show in August. It's August. It's vacation season.
There was like 90-some people on the other day.
Just on the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No emails for you.
And several thousand that listened to it later. At least they did for this week's show.
Maybe this week.
It doesn't count when you go back and listen to yourself over and over and over, Mark.
I can listen to myself like 500,000 times.
Yeah.
So I got like 500,000 listeners. Yeah. When in fact, I got one person and me.
Yes.
They listen to the show.
See, so it's not 500,000 people.
What do I know?
All right. And there's the first half an hour.
Now there's another hour of broadcast etiquette. Excellent. Well, we're talking about cigars.
Well, there was also some important stuff.
Cigars
right before
and
that.
The
because
vindication.
Because young man is starting out. He's going to be married next year, eight, right?
Yep.
June. And right. He's going to send us a invitation. Yeah, right. So we can comment.
Why would they want the three of
they'll
us
have,
there?
That's they'll have security at the gate. Look, if you see these people. Yep.
They'll have our photos.
Don't let them in. Okay? Don't let these people in. All right, so we're just trying to get everything right for him. And that's all I got to say about that. Okay, we'll be back right after this break.
If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men are more interested in sex than their wives. Why would you say that? Because generally it's true, but it's not always true. There are a lot of relationships where the wife is much more interested in sex than her husband. If you're here tonight and your wife is much more interested in sex than you are, I think I speak for all the men here when I say that we hate you.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com. One hour a day of Mark, not enough? Why not take him with you? Each of Mark's audio CD series are at least 4 hours of Bible teaching, laughing, and learning that you can listen to wherever you are, at work, in your car, or at home. Topics include men and women.
We live in a culture that's completely clueless and believes in all kinds of nonsense. You need to know something. The key to a successful marriage is not finding the right person. It's doing the right thing.
Family issues.
Men need to be involved with their children. Children need the challenge and the risk that men offer to them.
and even verse-by-verse Bible studies. All with Mark Gunger's humor and sometimes outrageous take on the subject at hand. To see all of the series available and order your copy today, log on to laughyourway.com or call 866-52-LAUGH. Order now at laughyourway.com.
Papa's in the icebox looking for caramel. Mama's in the backyard learning how to jive and wheel.
Jump jiving, then you will, you gotta jump jiving, then you will, you gotta jump jiving. Then you will
drunk driving.
Then you would well.
Yeah.
Drunk drive. Where do you hear drunk drive?
Did it not sound like
jumping, jumping, jive, drunken drive, jumping, jive? Hey, you don't enunciate in there.
But there's some brilliant lyrics right there. Right.
A woman is a woman and a man ain't nothing but a man.
One good thing about him, he knows how to jive and wheel.
Then you will, you gotta jump, jive, then you will.
Show saying, why am I listening to this stupid show? They're wailing all across the world. They're driving in their cars right now, listening to this, and they're wailing in agony and pain after 30 minutes of discussions about proper cigar etiquette. There you have it.
It's the important topic of the week, apparently.
I don't know. What do I know?
Okay, there's two little emails here. I'm sort of going to roll them in one, not giving you all
of the details.
You mean like
one would roll a cigar?
Kind of like that. Very frequently.
You ever see people roll cigars for us?
What?
Have you seen people roll cigars?
Yes. What? I'm over here.
I was just shocked.
I'm over here.
This way.
Eyes on me.
You beautiful, charming woman. Yes.
10 cigars for $300.
They can't be very.
I'm going to reach over
ten
there and
cigars
shut
for $300?
Ten cigars.
Shut.
This is
shutty the laptop.
Number one
shut.
Rated cigar over
Rossi,
last year.
Rossi, shutty the laptop.
The Family Reserve.
Wait a minute. I gotta write a check for $300.
Oh, my. You don't even smoke
you
cigars.
You will get some
I'm
friends
not gonna,
then.
No, yeah, then I would have some friends.
You have all kinds of friends.
I don't really spend that kind of money. Here, I'm asking people to help us.
Okay, boys.
I'm trying to raise money for this outreach.
And you're talking about cigars.
Cigars. I ain't saying him no money, man. I spent $300 for ten cigars. I'm just kidding, people.
Okay, speaking of outreach, do you want to say this again? I don't think you said it today.
Joplin
Reserve. Trying to raise money for Joplin outreach. Go to what?
CelebrateFamilies.org.
CelebrateFamilies.org.
I can't remember.
And you're going to raise money for what kind of event?
We're trying to do a Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event for the families that have been affected by the terrible tornadoes in Joplin.
That's right.
They're asking us to come. And we're trying to do that so we don't have to charge them to come. And the only way we could even possibly think about it was to go to the people who listen to this show and say, well, let me put it on the show and see if they would back us in doing this. If everybody did a little something, that would help us to be able to do this. So go to CelebrateFamilies.org. I know most of you listen to the show. It's amazing how many people listen to the show driving. They podcast it later.
Mm-hmm.
I say the vast majority do not listen to the show live. A very small percentage.
Yes.
You know, probably even less than 1% maybe listen to it live.
Most podcasted.
Yeah, podcasted. So whatever you're doing, you can't do it. But don't forget, when you get home, walk in the door, and when your wife wants to kiss you, say, sorry.
I can't.
Sorry, I have. If your wife meets you at the door wrapped in saran wrap, say, come on, baby, let's go. Do the wild thing. Say, sorry, I'm sorry. I have to go to the computer, and I have to do this donation to CelebrateFamilies.org. I wonder how many guys would do that.
Saran wrap.
You kidding me? You wouldn't even do that. You'd be like, let's go.
Saran wrap. Explain to me. I know. I've heard it.
Yeah, yeah.
I've
You've never heard
people,
it? Sure.
I have heard it. Yeah. I have a friend of mine who actually did it.
I know of a lady who did it, and her kid came in the house. And she freaked.
No.
And she jumped in the closet to hide in the closet because she's wrapped buck naked in saran wrap waiting because her son, she thought it was her husband.
That would traumatize your kid.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine seeing mom naked in saran wrap? Ah, my eyes, they're burning, ah, my eyes are burning.
I don't even see how that does anything for you.
I don't understand. What's the deal? What would be great, people get their ideas
from reading stupid
saran
stuff.
Saran wrap?
That was the thing. Do you remember this?
I know it's the thing. I've seen Kathy Bates in Fried Green Tomatoes, right?
That's the movie that she saw.
In the movie. I don't know if they show it or if she just tells of it, or no, I can't remember.
Very funny, but I literally know.
Yes. Well, I literally know people too.
I won't say her name.
No.
I want to know.
She thought, well, first of all, who reads this stupidity, for heaven's sake?
First of all, and it's hot and uncomfortable and icky. Why would you do that? Did you ever have just put it around your arm, a bandage or something?
Were you testing to see what it would feel like? To see if you'd be interested?
No, I was not.
Can you imagine wrapping yourself in saran wrap?
No.
Tinfoil, yes. Saran wrap, no.
So some idiot saran wrap.
Like, put a sexy nightie. Saran wrap.
I've heard of it. I know it.
But I don't. I've never been able to understand it in 20 years. Never been able to understand it.
People are crazy. What do I know? All I'm saying is,
like a body wrap or something like that, to promote, like, you know, if you're doing like a mud wrap and then you want to wrap so you do sweat, that makes sense.
That's not the point.
No, the bus is supposed to be a sexual temptation thing. So all you guys driving right now, there's guys driving their cars, listening to the show, probably thinking to themselves, I can't wait till I get home because I hope my wife's in saran wrap. And all I'm saying is, even if she is, say, hey, can you wait a minute? Because I have to go to celebratefamilies.org and I have to contribute to this thing. As soon as you go there, you'll see the Joplin, Missouri Fund. Click that on. Or there's an address you can email, or you can mail, not email, but mail your check-in if you want to do it that way. Or you can call it at the phone number during regular business hours here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Anyway, help us out, guys. If we can all get to do this, there's a chance for those who are part of this program and in this world to turn around, and let's be able to go down there and do a fun event for all these couples. And if we don't hit enough money to do it, your money still will not be wasted. We will take whatever you send and send it to Joplin to help these people. So there's no way it's a loser. So it's possible you could give the money and we, you know, if only 30 people do this, that's not enough to do.
Do you know what your goal is? Can I ask that? Do you know what the goal is?
Usually for us to go and do at a minimum, it's like a $15,000 deal.
Oh, okay.
And by the time we go and do all the stuff that we got to do.
Okay. Just wondering.
That'll go to my pocket. That'd be great. No. You know? But yeah.
Okay.
Actually, even as much as we generate at the conferences, you know, that's less than half, a little less than half of what we generate to keep the lights on.
Say that again?
Most of our income doesn't actually come from the seminars.
Right.
It actually comes from other things like the internet and stuff like sales like that. But the one plays off the other.
Right.
You know, so anyway, so we have If people would work for free, I'd have a lot more money.
Of course, I could charge less.
That would be great.
And you could charge less for people to come too, because we'd all be working for free.
That'd be great.
I'd be eating dog food and living in a cardboard box.
You know what? And then we could take up an offering for you.
Would you be willing to test this?
I was waiting for you to test the theory.
Anyway, yeah. So we're trying to hit like 15,000. I was talking to a lady, by the way, who was thinking about maybe making a big gift of thousands to this. I still am waiting to hear from her, so maybe she'll do that. That would be great. If anybody else is out there saying, yeah, hey, man, I can cut Jeff for $5,000 to do this, to help these people. You know, you're talking that kind of money? Just send my office. I'll call you personally.
He'll talk to
Seriously,
you.
Seriously, I
It'll will. It'll
be a thrill. Yeah, that alone's worth $1,000. 5 minutes on the phone with me. Yeah, as if this stupid show isn't bad enough. You actually want to talk to me in person. But, you know, absolutely, I would, you know. So, anyway, we're hoping that between everything from the little tiny gifts to the bigger gifts, that we hit this amount, and then I can call these people up and say, hey, we're coming, we raised the money, we're going to come do this conference, and that would be fabulous. So, anyway, there.
Okay.
How do we get off on that?
Because you were talking about cigars and about 10 cigars for $300, and then you said, turn me this money, and then I said, well, why don't you talk about it for real?
Diane started talking about saran wrap.
No, he's talked about saran wrap. Okay, there's two different emails, but they're typical, sort of the same situation, so I'm going to put them together and you can answer both. I think you can handle this, because frequently we get emails from people, my sister, my brother, my friend, somebody at church, their marriage is in trouble, what can we do to help them? So it's two emails that are those situations. One, the couple is separated and they're having difficulties. The guy has had an affair, so they're having problems with that. The other one, there's not an affair. affair involved, but they are separated, and she apparently doesn't want anything to do without spending money like a drunken monkey and this and that, and does not really want to come back to him. So both families, one is a church family and one is a family, trying to figure out what to do for these couples. So what do you advise people do when those folks that they know are in marital crisis? What can the onlookers do?
I don't give advice for that.
I know.
I've talked about this before.
I know.
It's really best that you guys don't email me for a third party. It's hard enough to get you guys to do stuff.
It's just a very commonly asked question. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's hard enough. Someone says, look, I have this problem. What should I do? And I tell them they don't listen to me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start getting to a third party, well, I have a cousin who has a dog who's related to a cat that knows a parakeet that's having this one problem.
But what can you do? What would you do if somebody you knew, like good friends of yours, were separated? I mean, you've been in that situation. What do you and Deb do?
I don't have any friends.
I know you don't. Okay, Ross, you have friends. Let's just.
I do.
What do you do? I mean, because everybody wants to be
salt in the wound. See,
yeah.
It's not bad enough that I don't have any friends.
She
keeps bringing up saying, "What would you do with your friends?" Only to point out the fact that I don't have any friends.
Which just makes me more wounded than ever before.
That she turned to me.
Oh yeah. No. Ross.
What?
Just that's not it. Okay, but you know, everybody wants to know, how do you help a friend, a sister, or whatever? What do you do? Everybody wants to know, what do you do? That surely that has happened to you, and I know that it has.
That are struggling in their relationship?
Yeah, they're separated. Somebody's had an affair. One has left and doesn't want to come back. Well, what do you do? Y'all deal with it. I know you do.
Well, yeah, I just did it with some very close people that I'm with.
So what do you do? That's what people want to know.
Well, I focus in on the man first and foremost, and if they're people of faith, then I try to get them to wrap their noggin around who they are in Christ and what's going on.
No, not the people that are in trouble. The family.
How do you deal with the family?
How do you deal with the family?
I keep them out. It's none of their... Well, Mark would disagree with this because he says it is everybody's business, especially like this.
How do you support that and how do you deal with that?
I think it's a very bizarre scenario.
Well, I mean, it's
a juggling, you know, how much information, what do you tell? How much do you
You're talking about what to say to the family?
The families want to know what to do to help these people.
Oh.
Sorry, I messed you up on that, Ross.
Yeah, you did.
You were in the right path. You talked to the guy first. That was my fault.
Yes.
What do you do when you've got a friend that needs help?
Yeah.
You got a friend.
Even your dog is nice.
Yep.
James Taylor.
You just call out my name.
That's what you do. You just call out their name.
And you know wherever I am, I'll come running.
I don't know. What do you do?
I think, you know, you're saying if a family...
Family wants to know what to do, like, the people are in distress.
In their family.
Yes. Or friends, or... Like, it's me. I'm in trouble. What are you going
to
do?
I'm going to reach out to somebody that knows who you are, a female, and I'm going to say, hey, you know, this would be good for you to... I'm not going to go to someone in your family unless you have that connection or that bond with them.
But it's your friend. I'm your friend. I'm in trouble.
I'm not saying Jack Squad. I'm going to find somebody else.
Well, you don't talk cross-sex. I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand that. Okay, so it's my husband. What do you do? What do you say? Because they want to know how to help these people.
Then I talk with them, but the family, I keep them out of it for right now. I really do. I don't bring a whole
lot. It's very hard to help somebody's marriage when they don't want to be helped. That's what a lot of these situations are. They don't want to be helped. Whoever's left the house doesn't want to.
It's bad enough when you try to deal with them directly. You say, well, how do I get somebody who... You have no control over what they want to do. What can you do?
Well, see, started out
pray and ask God to change her heart.
Well, and that's what the one email was saying, that they've been praying, but besides that, what can they do?
You can't make people do things.
No, the guy's had an affair. His marriage is trashed. He's reaping
what he sowed.
We've been reaping what he sowed. I don't know how you help them. I've been in those situations. It's very helpless. You don't know what to do.
You got a friend.
Monster Inc.
You got trouble, and I got them too.
Elvis song.
There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, see it through.
You got a friend in me. That's what you just sing that song to him.
Yeah. honestly, if you're really good friends, like if it were me, the two of you, and I was doing something stupid,
I
like,
would be yelling at you.
You mean you'd step right in, you'd grab me, and you'd shake me.
What are you doing?
What the hell are you doing? I mean,
what the hell?
But you have to have that kind of a relationship with somebody to do that. If it's just like a relative.
So you are different than I am in this scenario. Because I would shake and grab, but then would you stick it out, though? Would you allow someone to, if they don't want to make things right, would you still be there as an option for them, or would you kick them to the curb?
As a personal friend, no, I don't know that I'd kick them to the curb.
You know,
I mean, my friends all work for me, really. It's my friends. It's my world. You guys, I spend all my time with. Sometimes I've had it where you have to fire somebody, and they feel kicked to the curb.
Right.
But you can't have a marriage ministry with people who are working for you who are divorcing their spouse just because they don't want them and they won't listen to anybody. It's one thing if someone was getting a divorce and I'm trying to, and they're trying and they're working on it and it still falls, even that's a different ballgame.
But when they're just blatantly walking away.
I'm not going to, well, let us talk. No. Well, give us a chance to help you. No.
Well, then
you can't work here anymore because that goes against everything we believe. No. And they feel, if you were talking to them, they're like, Mark, you're kicking me to the curb because I got divorced.
And they would
kick you to the curb if you were a jerk and you wouldn't let anybody even help you, you know?
But this scenario right here, if these people don't want your help, you know, they don't want your insight, they're not looking for it.
Like the one lady doesn't, but maybe her husband does. So it's just, it gets so difficult to deal with.
Well, then all that you can do
is very, very complicated.
Is just connect with a guy, get a guy that connects with him and help him turn his life around and live in a way that could possibly.
Look, I'll tell you the reality of it. The vast majority of times where this happens, they end up indoors. There's nothing you can do.
No.
Right.
Man,
you can't pull it from the fire.
My whole life is about trying to keep people together. Mm-hmm. And even on the best of circumstances, we still struggle with that. The thing is when one person doesn't want to be married anymore, there is nothing you can do. Exactly. There's just nothing you can do.
And like this guy, if he's had an affair and his wife is done with it and now his world is falling apart,
what can you do? You know, that's why you don't go screw people.
And if he feels then they want to know how to help him. And
yeah.
Don't be screwing anybody.
What if I'm married to them?
Well, if you're married, it's different.
Okay.
Then I encourage you as much as you possibly can. But you know, some other bimbo comes along. You don't go hop in bed with somebody else. It's just death. It's death to the relationship.
Yeah.
It's almost like saying, I killed somebody. What should I do?
Well that's what a very do you mean? Good He's analogy.
Dead. Well, can't you help him? I don't have that kind of faith. I guess, in theory, you could. You know, do you know any green aliens that could come lay hands on him? Because that might help him. You know, but I if someone's dead, they come, what do I do? My friend's dead. I don't really have an answer for that. How about you not kill your friends? You know, we can help. Well, I mean, really, you dig a nice grave for them and you have a nice funeral and we'll cry with you and we'll hold your hand. And you go out and you start having sex with somebody else other than your wife and your wife wants to kick you to the curb. Man, there's not a whole lot you can do.
When you've had an affair and your wife is devastated and...
Now, there's a lot of people who do forgive their spouse and get past it. I'm always amazed that they can pull that off. I don't know that I could do it.
No, he's saying that whatever way he goes, he can't make it right again. The woman that was involved was hurt a lot, and he can't seem to break free of her, plus his real regular wife is upset. I mean, there's just... You can't do anything about
that. Here's the point. People want to fix for something, which in a way gives them permission to do it, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
And what's frustrating to people is that something will happen that I caused that I can't fix is like incomprehensible to them.
It's sometimes you can't fix it.
But that's why you don't do it in the first place. You don't kill people because once you kill them, it's hard to fix them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
You can't really resurrect them very well.
It's hard. Now, is it possible? Yes.
Yeah.
If you got great faith in God or you're a green alien, you could possibly raise a person from the dead. I mean, it's true. You could. Well, not about the alien, but the others you could. All right? But really, what people are, you know, it's almost as if we want to, look, we have a culture that people go around killing people. And we want to encourage people to kill people because you can't really infringe on people's right to kill people because this is America. You should be able to kill anybody you want, okay? And everybody should be able to kill somebody and stuff like that. And then we come and say, oh my gosh, what did I do? Someone's dead. What can you fix it, Pastor?
No.
Well, that's why you're not supposed to kill people. It's hard to fix that.
You can't fix some of these things. And if you can, it's not an easy fix.
That's my point.
This guy's going to feel bad. He's, you know, going to have a hard time with the other woman. He's going to have a hard time with his wife and all of the devastation.
But what people really struggle with is that it's hard to fix it.
Yeah. It is hard.
Because at some point, We want to believe you can do anything and we can fix it.
And if you just pray hard enough,
yes.
Which I'm not saying you don't pray, and I'm not saying prayer can't fix it.
But that's literally, I mean, we so believe in faith and restoration, and I do.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, we believe it to the extent that we encourage people to live casually. The people don't really pay attention to that. It's like, you know, it's like if I'm talking to Thomas here and I'm raising him the whole time and just teaching him, look, God loves you no matter what, no matter what you do, and he'll fix everything for you. And at some level, that's true. But you got to be careful with that, because then Thomas goes off and it's like, well, it doesn't matter. Well, you know, I can be an alcoholic. Jesus will fix it later. I can screw around on my wife. Well, God will fix it. You know, I can go to church and Jesus will fix it later. I can smoke cigar. Oh, wait, don't touch the cigar. That's why you don't want to smoke that cigar. So, you know, I mean, it's like, well, one won't kill you. But I'm just saying, it's not like, you know.
People misunderstand, because yes, there is forgiveness for everything you're talking about, but they misunderstand because they think forgiveness means no consequences.
No consequences.
That is not true.
Yeah.
You can be totally forgiven and have a whole boatload of consequences that you can't fix and you can't undo. And it has nothing to do with unforgiveness or not being forgiven.
And
but that's where people
That's what people are struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
So fundamentally what these people and others that we've gotten emails like this, they're frustrated that nobody seems to have, Pastor, there must be a fix for this. Not really. I mean, that's why you don't do it. That's why, you know, the guy said, well, you know, he screwed on his wife. He said, but he wants the healing. He wants to get together. And it's like, hello?
Well, and send that's him to a counselor. Send him to somebody. Like, this guy happens to be, he's having suicidal thoughts. Well, then you need to get him to a counselor and somebody that can deal with some of that stuff. Just the normal run of us Joes can't deal with that stuff.
He's having suicidal thoughts?
That's what they said, the guy who had the affair.
Yeah, here's
So they're worried about him. Of course they're worried about him.
Yeah, you got to fix that. Quit trying to fix the marriage at this point. You got a guy screwed up.
Yeah. He's talking about,
that's
my point. One you foot focus in the marriage, in on the one, guy. Yeah. You try to get him to see who he is, and you know, as God's son, first and foremost. That's what I think.
But he's the one who committed adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that
weird? Now he's stuck one foot with the gal, one foot with the wife, can't make either of them happy, doesn't know what
to
kill
himself.
Do. Mm-hmm. Because that... he's overwhelmed. I'm sure that he is it's a big mess down around his ears.
Well, a lot of people do that. A lot of people have done stuff and then you feel so overwhelmed. You do want to kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You feel totally helpless. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible feeling.
There's no out. That's the out.
Yeah. If I kill myself, that's the out. Well, you need to help your friend get past that. In fact, I would focus more on that than trying to save them. I think you're focused on the wrong thing.
Yeah. Because
you think,
well,
if I just fix, if I can fix the marriage, I'll fix him.
Right.
No, you won't.
No. And in the other situation, the woman just left and she doesn't even want to talk about what it's going to take to get the guy back to come back to him and deal with it. She's coming up with her list of things that she wants fixed. But you can't fix that.
Do you know what? You're listening. I think I see what Mark thinks about this. I've asked guys who come in who have seen me, is there in for relational or marital issues? The wife's ready to walk. I said, what's your biggest fear right now? I asked them that. Well, that my wife leaves me, that my kids aren't. I said, my biggest fear is that if you lose your family, that you lose perspective of who you are as God's son, and that you end up putting yourself in a place where your faith is, you know, in the tank, and you walk away. Because, well, why did God allow this to happen? I've been pursuing, I pray, why is he allowing this to happen? And you walk away from your faith. So that's my biggest concern. And I start talking to them about that stuff, getting their eyes off of the marriage and off the wife potentially leaving, and things change.
Because
it's not
the
issue.
If they get themselves together, then the marriage gets together.
You just touched on something that kind of irritates me a little bit.
Me?
Yeah. Not you don't irritate me.
Something.
This thing, why did God let this happen?
Right.
Now, how narcissistic are people?
Very.
You really think everything that's going on is God is making this happen to you.
Well, surely if you
why is God doing this? You know, and I've heard, and I think there's a part of this that's maybe a little helpful, but I've heard about, you know, it's okay for you to get angry at God, and it's good for you to let God know that you're angry. I'm thinking, really?
Be careful.
This is God.
But what did these guys do?
It's okay if you get angry at me.
That led to that scenario. Like, you know, why did God let this happen? No, dude, what the heck did you do this happened?
But even if you had no control over it, this idea that God did this to you, you got a pretty sick viewpoint
of God. But
there's
people who think
my wife's upstairs recovering right now. They found a thing that's got cancer on it. We're hoping there's nothing else. We don't know yet. Okay?
But you don't think, why did God do this?
But I'm not, why is God doing this to me? I mean,
no.
Right.
That doesn't cross my mind.
But wait a minute. Where is your head at where you think that way?
I don't know.
And we're talking a lot of people that think this way.
They do.
They think that everything that happens to them is God either doing it to them or not. Never mind what somebody else does to them or what they did to themselves. And this guy's totally screwed up his own life and been immoral. And so, why'd God let this happen to me?
No.
Hello,
you did this.
You Nimrod.
You did it.
Yes. You did it. And first of
I'll take ownership of
a little humility towards God. God's not going doing bad things to you. Well, why did it happen? I don't know. Have you heard of Satan?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And I just love the, you know, these idiots. You get them on TV, you know, talking about the theology of, you know, why did God allow the tornado to hit?
It's probably a lot of sin.
Why did God do that? Why do you call it an act of God? Because morons like you get called it an act of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
There is something in play called Satan, mm-hmm. who Jesus said come to rob, kill, and destroy. That's why you want to get as close to God as you can and as far away from Satan.
And getting angry at God is not going to be a
that's my point. So they're
him.
Far away from as God as they want to be. God's like a side issue to them.
Yeah.
You know, I love Jesus, but I'm screwing my brains out with all my girlfriends. Oh, I just love Jesus. And then something happened. Oh, why did God let this happen to me? Are you kidding me? God did this to you.
That's what they think.
Honestly. Or after when they start trying to do the right things, but the wife just leaves.
Well, then they're praying and praying
and
praying.
God,
but
he's not listening. God's, you know, allowing this to happen. And it's just.
Yeah, but in those cases, you reap what you sow.
That's right. And people don't understand that. They do not understand.
Paul
said
this. God will not be mocked.
Yep.
You will reap what you sow. You will.
And you can pray all the prayers you want, and you can cry.
And God can help you through it, and God will forgive you, and sometimes you'll get a miracle.
But you've created your situation. A lot of the times, you've created your own situation.
Yeah. So, but there again, we want to be insulated from any kind of consequences. Mm-hmm. Jesus should be able to fix everything so I don't have any consequences for my bad actions. And then they turn around and blame God, and they get angry at God and point fingers at God. I'm thinking,
what's the matter with you?
What are you doing? God, I'm mad at God. Are you insane? Mad at God. So you're going
to
you're going to stand before Almighty God and you're going to tell him off?
Here's what I really think.
On Judgment Day, you're going
to... How could you do this to me?
People who actually think this.
I know they do because I've talked to them.
When he touched on that, I just jumped on that. Oh, my God.
Well, you think that's mind-blowing, but you'll think this is really mind-blowing. Gurkha's His Majesty's Reserve Cigars,
$750
each.
$750.
$14,995.95 for 20. $700
for one cigar. $750.
Roll up your $100 bills smoke them.
That can't be right.
It is right.
$750 for a cigar.
For one cigar.
Yes.
Roll up your money and smoke it.
Okay, everybody listen to me on the air right now. If you buy $750 cigars, you need to go right now to
CelebrateFamilies.org
and contribute $20,000. So we can do all kinds of seminars for people all over the place. If you can spend $750 for one cigar, I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying go online right now and put in a nice big check to help us help these families. For heaven's sakes, wow. Who spends $750?
People that can.
My wife would beat me to death.
Yeah, with that cigar.
Well, apparently you have lots and lots of money.
She would beat me to death. She would bury me in the backyard, and then she'd run inside and sit down and giggle.
Some guy on here goes, well, how much is it just for a couple puffs?
Wow. Is it like a gigantic clown cigar?
No, it's a very,
what's
very
$1,000 bottles of wine? Come on.
No, remember that bottle of...
All right, all you cigar smokers, we'll see you! Goodbye!
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!